Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Alex Stanbury and Robin Rundle of Technology Minerals. Welcome back, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Good. Good to be here.
Yes, good morning. Nice to be here with you. Excellent.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Great news again.
Yeah. Start by saying congratulations on the news of the second EA permit, which obviously Recyclers has been awarded in the past 2 weeks. First, there was Tipton and now the lithium iron site in Wolverhampton and priority status too, as per the RNS. Just how significant a milestone is this for Techmins?
Well, as we have said previously with Tipton, it's a very significant cornerstone for us. And particularly on the lithium iron, because, of course, we are leading the territory here. So, you know, we've got this as a stepping stone and a vote of confidence in our organization, in our people, in our processes. And, you know, we will be sharing all of our learning and our knowledge around the safe handling and processing of the lithium ion batteries with the Environmental Agency and other government agencies too, because, you know, there is a tsunami of these batteries from all sectors that use lithium ion, and there are five key chemistries. And because we're able to handle all five of these chemistries, it's a detailed application that we have with the Environmental Agency. So to get this vote of confidence in us in Wolverhampton is fantastic. And now, of course, we work with the Environmental Agency on actually just fine detailing the exact processes through the plant and ensuring the health and safety elements are met. And then we get final sign off to say, right, really just get processing these batteries. So there's a little bit more work to be done on the lithium ion side before we can go fully operational. But it's a fantastic cornerstone that we've got here, and now we're just got one or two of these processes to go through, as I've just described. So great news for us.
Yeah, and I mean, having both things now, both the lead and the lithium ion batteries now, is going to cover all the bases, I take it, for battery renewal or battery recycling. But tell us, because I think the market doesn't quite get it, tell us the potential revenue per plant for each one of these once they're fully moving, or EBITDA, never mind revenue.
Okay, so we are in the first full year of trading that Site 1 and Site 2 collectively will have a turnover of circa 14 to 16 million combined. And we're expecting an EBITDA in the late 20s, possibly early 30s. Especially with the way that the commodity prices have gone over the last few weeks, let alone the last few months, of course. So, and then if you multiply that, extrapolate that up, because we are already busy on plants 3 and 4, which, of course, we need to be because we're trying to roll out one new plant of each of the two sciences, both lead acid and lithium ion, per year. So by 2027, we're expecting to have 10 sites in operation here in the UK. And you can extrapolate that out yourselves. And so it's a very solid business model. It very quickly becomes cash generative. If it goes better than plan, we can bring that five-year strategy forwards. And we don't expect it to go less than to plan, obviously. We have faith in what we're doing. And looking forward to getting sites 1 and 2 operational to really get this early to market opportunity that we have on lithium ion.
So those figures you've quoted, is that based on the studies you did before these things came to pass?
Yes, it is. In fact, it's slightly deeper than that, in that we onboarded the know-how in people from both sectors. And those people have been operating both in the lead acid and a separate set of people in the lithium ion battery recycling sector on very small scale on the lithium ion. But with them, they bought the knowledge of the current trading position, the current cost bases, and the current sales opportunities of things like the black mass from the lithium ion. And so what we've actually done is use their exact industry knowledge to populate our business plan. And then we've had that business plan validated by two external very highly qualified accountancy people in the sector. And so we feel that, we've done everything we can to give our business model the very best chance of delivering.
And has black mass gone up in price since all of these calculations were done or not?
Yeah, very much so. We've got a number of key companies around the globe that want to talk to us, and they're all talking to us about taking all of the black mass. And we have, over the last 9 months, been sending out various samples to companies, and we have at least one written offer that is somewhere in the region of 20% higher than we had originally got in the forecasts, which is very pleasing. And there's still a way to go, because obviously the black mass, the quality of the black mass is dependent upon what we put in at the front end, the types of batteries that we put in. So each batch has to be that we put through has to be analyzed and then sent to market with the analysis of the quality and the content of the materials within that black powder. So, to answer your question directly, there's been a significant hike in the price of the black mass.
And in some ways, because you're basically a monopoly here, because nobody else can do this, obviously, in the UK, then you're going to get your choice of feedstock, I presume, as well, with batteries. And you get paid for that as well, no? You get paid to take the batteries off people's hands.
Yes, we do. Because we're a problem solver, we do get to get a gate, what's called a gate fee, which can, depending on the types of product, can vary from £1,200 up to around £2,800 per tonne. So it's a significant revenue. But I must caveat that with saying that our business model is not predicated on or relying on that front end gate fee. It's still a robust model. If 3-4 years down the road, we have competition and gate fee naturally will reduce when there's competition. And so our business model is robust without a gate fee when that time comes. But I think it's also important to remind you, of course, that we've talked about before, is that as soon as we get active, we also have our front end UK collection system of all of these lithium ion batteries through our partnership that we've announced with Slicker Recycling. So we have UK collection with 90 some odd lorries on the road, and also 13 depots that these lorries operate from. And they will all bring the lithium ion and or the lead to the respective sites in the Midlands. And as we roll out the different sites, then clearly that will cut down any carbon emissions, because they will be able to take nearby batteries to each of the new plants that we put up here in the UK. So it's an evolving reduction of carbon footprint. It's a problem-solving solution for both lead and also lithium iron. We just can't wait to get started, frankly.
I like your caution, Robin, but don't be so cautious, because this is going to explode. What's happening with all these batteries at the minute? Hundreds of thousands of tons of this stuff already about.
Kevin, we're not going to ask you to write our brochure if you're going to use words like explode. You know, that's a really... So, what's happening to them in the meantime, which is a very good question. Basically, they're either getting incinerated into furnaces where they're burning the plastics and then using the lead inside the lead acid batteries to try and cool the flame a little bit. Or worse still, they're actually going into landfill, being dumped. And we know that because we are a problem solver on the lithium ion, there are sectors that are even sliding them into black bins and putting them into landfill via that mechanism. We really do want to get this lithium ion site up and running to be the real solution for a lot of sectors. And that goes from handheld devices through to e-bikes, through to cars, and even trains, because electric trains have massive lithium ion batteries on them, as an example, so that have to be dealt with. And right now it's a huge problem. We've got major companies coming to us saying that they themselves have got storage of nearly 200 tons and can we help them out, you know? But of course, until we get this final license on the lithium ion, you know, we're not able to process. So we are in constant dialogue with the Environmental Agency. You know, we know that they've had staffing issues. We know that they've got long delays. We have huge sympathy with that because we are in unusual times, aren't we? And, you know, it's all well and good to say, well, you know, some companies are hiding behind COVID. But of course, you know, there are companies genuinely that have got this massive backlog as a result of COVID. So, and the Environmental Agency are sadly one of those companies, but they are currently our slowest link. We understand their problems and support them as best we can. And we look forward to working with them to, you know, really deliver this solution for the UK.
Yeah. And for those that don't know, this is going to be the true revenue producing side of Tech Minerals. Okay. But I'll now introduce and ask Alex about the other side, which is basically the mining side of the company. So you are effectively a junior explorer stroke miner. Obviously, you don't mine anything at the minute, but tell us a little bit about that side of the business, Alex.
Yeah, absolutely, Kevin. We are a project incubator for battery metals projects. We're really here to pick up the other side of the demand, the demand curve, I suppose. We've got the recycling, which can only ever produce a certain amount, and we're saying forecast about 22% into the industry for the battery production. The rest of it needs to come from virgin extraction. So we have projects three in the US, one in Spain, one in Ireland, and one in Cameroon across the suite of battery metals, with a view to being a provider of battery metals for those supply chains, in order to really meet the growing demand for the battery manufacturing sector. There are over 230 battery manufacturing plants being built globally at the moment, and a woeful shortage of supply for those plants. So that's really where we aim to be. And it's really about strategic placing of those assets. So in the US, we are in Idaho, and we've just done a deal on those assets. And Idaho is the only place in the US that grades high enough, and one of the only places in the world that grades high enough that you can actually mine primary cobalt. So it's extremely strategic, and the US are looking at their critical materials strategy at the moment, and have invoked the Korean War Act, basically, because they've realized that they have a serious problem on their hands. So it's really about sort of critical materials for them, and it's becoming of national importance to their energy, the Department of Energy. We've just sold 10% of those assets to a strategic investor, and that's the first part of what we consider to be a future piece of M&A there. And we are looking at all of our other assets are under review by mid-tier players as well. We had a site.
What sort of grades of cobalt are we talking about here? It needs to be of national importance, and obviously, it's not just a byproduct; it's cobalt.
Yeah, it's 0.5% up to a couple of percent. Really, if we look at our next door neighbor in Idaho, Jervois, they are going to be the first producer in the US, and we actually box them in on two sides downstrike, which is obviously the important site to be. And so you can see from their feasibility studies and everything that they've done what we expect to find on our sites as well. Yeah, so...
And what sort of valuation does that particular company have? Or that project, if it's possible, if you have that information?
I think it's currently around 400 million. I'll have to come back to you on that. But it shows that there's a huge amount of value in what we've got there. They've only got about 3,000 acres, and we've got 13,800 plus another 3,500 for the Blackbird site as well. So we own the majority of the Idaho Cobalt Belt, which I think when Jervois become a producer later this year, suddenly the focus will become, will land on the Idaho Cobalt Belt, both globally, but especially within the US. And I think there'll be a lot more focus there, and that'll really push some M&A our way.
They're likely to have a big checkbook?
Yes, I think they will. I think they're focusing on getting up and running. I think that's been a key for them since they've been an awfully long time to get to where they are today. They were acquired by Jervois, I think around 18 months ago. And I think once they're up and running, then they'll look to see how they can expand. But if it's not them, we have another large company on our southern borders. And if it's not them, there's plenty of US players out there that are looking to increase their battery metals exposure. And as I said, once our neighbours are producing, I think that'll really hone people in on what we're up to.
It sounds like these are all pretty strategic locations then, from looking at there's a Project Leinster as well, and there's the Northern Spain projects as well.
Absolutely. The Irish lithium project we've had extremely positive grades out of. And as I said, we had a site visit there last week and that went extremely well. And Northern Spain is an old underground mine which was mined for copper, and all the cobalt was left behind, but there's still an awful lot of mineralization underground, and it was worked in the 40s and 50s. So the mining methods were old, and it was closed down way before, but just because of the copper price back then, which would make it very economic today, and it was closed down well before it was anywhere near expired. So there's a lot of work to do there, but there's also a huge amount of upside.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that there's been very strong news flow or frequent news flow coming out from Teck Minerals in the last sort of 2 or 3 weeks. What can shareholders expect to see going forward?
We've got an awful lot on the agenda still. We need to get the plants up and running. We've got these key licenses, the key permits up at Wolverhampton and Tipton now, which is a massive tick in the box and a great milestone for us. And it's the waterfall of sub-licenses underneath that are going to come through now. And then we'll be up and running. And then contracts on the back of that as well. We've got a lot of discussions going on around contracts, but we just need to get the plants operating. And then on the mining side, we've got all these discussions going on each of our assets. So joint ventures and earnings on each of those. Plenty still to come. It's very exciting times.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds very exciting. I mean, you talk, Robin, about 2027, which sounds like a long way away, but maybe 4.5-5 years away from now, having 10 plants, probably having profit in the hundreds of millions, literally, from the figures you've talked about. Currently have a market cap of about 40 million. So, I mean, the potential for this British company to lead Europe and the world in this recycling side of things, and at the same time have amazingly exciting mining opportunities, which are obviously worth more than the market cap as well, based on what you said, Alex. Yes, it's extremely exciting time. So, yeah, well done, guys. Now the market just has to realize.
Indeed it does.
Thank you very much. Yeah, guys. Good summary.
Alex and Robin, Technology Minerals, thanks very much for your time.
Nice to speak. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, guys.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.